views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. My name is Steve Kramer. It's an absolute delight to be with you and to be with my co-host for yet another show. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Glad to be here.
Would you like to introduce yourself? I always introduce you.
Okay, yes. I am Dorothy Riddle. I am with the School for Esoteric Studies. I'm going to take a moment on this, Steve, right at the beginning to talk about our collaboration, because this is an intentional collaboration between the School for Esoteric Studies and Spirit Fire, and we're delighted with this collaboration. We are both educational nonprofits. The School for Esoteric Studies focuses on providing esoteric discipleship training for persons with a spiritual practice who want to deepen it and strengthen their ability to be a world server. And we do this through meditation, study, and through service. And you can find out more about us at esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net. And you can, if you're interested, if you belong to a group that would like to collaborate with us on another initiative, you'll find information on the website about our intergroup collaboration initiatives.
Beautiful. Indeed, listeners, what a website. Yes, I would highly recommend an evening of reading, right, on the esotericstudies.net website. It's lovely. Spirit Fire is the other half of this collaboration, and we are also an educational nonprofit, and we have our roots in esotericism as well. If that word is new to you, it really means innermost, and this month we're talking about discernment, and it's this idea of really going within and discerning what is our innermost and how do we apply that. And this radio show is so much about bringing our true selves, right, our innermost self, and applying that in practical ways so we can shine our light and be of service in the world. Spirit Fire has its own meditation practice called the Practice of Living Awareness. And we've got a retreat center in Western Mass. You can find out about our retreats and online programs and our meditation practice at spiritfire.com. The meditations are great. They're free online. And we'd love to have you join us. So, Dorothy, discernment. We're spending this whole month of September talking about discernment. And we spent 2 weeks talking about the Riddle Scale, which was just fascinating. Listeners, if you didn't get a chance to listen to the last two episodes, they were something else. And spiritfireradio.com has got links to all of our archives. And so we're going to continue that conversation. And, you know, Dorothy, you usually start with a quote. I'm wondering if you have one today.
I think that, you know, when we think about discernment, we can actually use a quote that we've used on one of our other shows, one of our shows on hope. Desmond Tutu says, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness." So that is certainly the process of discernment, right? Discerning the light in the darkness.
Mm. Yeah, and being able to separate the two, right? It seems like quite a bit of darkness. And it seems everybody's talking about the darkness these days. So how do you discern where does the light come through, right?
Right. Well, and, you know, if we're talking, you know, one aspect of, to me, of the spiritual path is ethical behavior. And in order to behave ethically, we have to be able to distinguish between truth and falsehood, between what is real and what is not real. And that is the function of discernment, you know, is to make those fine distinctions.
Indeed. And, you know, as I've been pondering this, as I do during these months of diving deep and discerning, really, we discern so much each month. I thought quite a bit about our nonprofits, and that in both of our schools, this idea of the three-legged stool of service and study and meditation. And I was wanting to relate these. I was sort of kind of pondering, how do these relate to discernment? And I thought, well, what gets in the way of discerning, like especially discerning ethical behavior? And I thought, well, you know, you just can't be selfish. You can't be always thinking about yourself, because you've got to acknowledge that we're part of a greater group. And in order to discern ethics and to discern right from wrong, you've really got to think outside of oneself and see the bigger picture, which leads me to service, you know, which is compassion and relating to another. And then I thought, with discernment, you just can't be ignorant. You really have to, you got to know things. I mean, if there's a subject, so much of this is mental matter, you know, being able to distinguish between this or that and judge and try to figure out between true and false. And there's so many manipulators out there these days, really, with false news and these agendas that are spread so easily through the internet, that you really have to make it a point to educate yourself. And that made me think of study. And then I thought, well, you've really also got to be able to observe not only the world around you and take the time, quiet time, time of detachment, but you've also got to really be able to observe yourself, your responses and reactions to situations, to see if your response is really valid. You know, are you discerning beyond your own sort of maybe emotional limitations, or even, you know, do you need to stretch your mind a little bit, which leads me to meditation. So I find it so interesting, Dorothy, that without even, you know, working too hard, I got to this three-legged stool of esotericism, which is service, study, and meditation. And all three of those really help us discern. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. And all three of them are also about clarity of energy, because I associate that particularly with meditation, but meditation in the sense of 24/7 meditative attitude, that what we are working on is making sure that we have this clear mental and emotional energy field, so that we don't distort what comes in and what goes out. And after all, we are all energy, right? That's one of those basic principles that we've talked about through the year, that we are part of this cosmic energy field, and we are ourselves, although we think of ourselves as being primarily dense matter, we are actually waveforms. We are actually primarily energy.
And we say all the time as well, Dorothy, right, that energy follows thought. So really, we are creating this world around us by where our mind focuses in this sort of, as you always say, this quantum sea of possibilities. So discernment, it's really, I'm curious to hear from you, is it really mental stuff? Is it made of really this process of discernment? Are we always in the mind, do you feel?
Well, I think we're always in the mind informed by the heart. I think
discernment, right? In terms of discernment.
Yeah. But yeah. I say it that way because I think that it is a function of the mental body, but the mental body informed by the heart, which is what the intuitive process is.
Yes.
So it's not just, you know, what we think of as the kind of concrete thinking, but it's also that that in the intuitive leap to what is truth, you know, what is moral. And it's, I mean, I know we're going to be talking about this both this week and next week, but the we've seen, unfortunately, I think, more and more examples of people behaving out of self-interest rather than out of some kind of ethical framework. And behaving out of an ethical framework isn't always the popular way to go. And so discernment is more than just listening to everybody around and saying, yeah, I agree. Discernment is somehow being able to get some distance from that and distance from our own self-interest and say, okay, what is really going on? What the image that I use, Steve, when I'm trying to think about something like this is I use the image of a photograph or you know, like the lens on a camera. If you're taking a photograph and you can make the lens go really, the image go really fuzzy and then bring it back to where it's really sharp.
Yeah.
And so that's the process for me of discernment is coming back into that very sharp, clear focus of, yes, this is what is important. This is what is true.
I think I'm one of those focusers that has to go fuzzy, clear, fuzzy, clear, fuzzy, clear until I finally get to clear. I'm one of those. You know, just that you mentioned the heart and the mind. I always remember a housemate I had who lived in northern India for a while, where there are quite a few Tibetan refugees and quite a few Tibetans and Buddhists. And he would always say that when you ask a Tibetan what they think about something, they will often pause, that there's always quite a bit of time before they answer you, and they put their hand on their heart. Whereas you think of at least in the States, or I don't know, perhaps in the Western world, one might say, when I think of the thinker, you know, when you ask someone what they think, we think of somebody scratching their forehead or tapping their forehead. Mm-hmm. But to the Tibetans, it's putting their hand on their heart. And it's that sense of, I think, connecting to a greater wisdom or trying to find not only your thought about something, but your place within the greater whole and how that thought fits in. And so always remember that as a very sort of pristine observation of a different way of being. Dorothy, we're at our first break. When we come back, listeners, we're going to talk more about discernment.
In this day and age, if you don't reinvent yourself, you may never find balance, peace, and the sustainable life that is your birthright. Angela Watson Robertson, known as the Reinvention Warrior and the host of breakthrough radio show Masters of Reinvention, is here to help you reinvent every area of your life. Tune in and hear from the best in the personal transformation business and discover tips and tools for positive change. Live every month on Transformation Talk Radio.
Hey, did you know why they call the foundation? It's called the foundation because it completely eliminates your foundation for what you thought your reality was and creates a whole new space where you can have an entirely new reality that is foundationless. So from my point of view, they should call it the unfoundation or the foundationlessness. Either way, there's a big new global rewrite happening again because these guys cannot stop changing. There should be like a Change Anonymous that Gary and Dane go to. And it's happening April 28th to May 1st. You can find out about it at accessconsciousness.com/global foundation. It's happening in Paris. Go to Paris or do it online or find a pod near you. These are all the options you have. And what else is possible?
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com. Discover the healing medicine from the giant monkey tree frog Cambo. Cambo practitioner Ginny Rutherford and professional psychic Todd Rolson have come together for lively discussions of alternative healing medicines from the Amazon. Ginny and Todd bring you Cambo Talk Radio. Tune in each Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific to hear from guests all over the world with real life stories and the medicinal benefits of Cambo. For more information, visit CamboKiss.com.
Welcome back, listeners. My co-host, Dorothy Riddle, and I are going to continue our discussion on discernment. So, Dorothy, before we went to break, we were talking about discernment and ethical behavior. I'm wondering if you wanted to continue the conversation.
Yeah, I think that there are a couple of pieces that that can be really important to raise. You know, we were talking about discerning, you know, figuring out, you know, what's the truth of the matter. And it's very easy in that process to become judgmental of other people that have a different perspective. And so I think it's important to think of discernment as also linked to detachment, you know, that we are not... It's not a matter of judging whether one person or another has a correct position. It's rather a matter of trying to come at what is the truth for us all, what is the best way forward for us all.
Mm. Right. It seems to be the key, right, in all of our, almost every, that's the link of almost every topic we've covered, is it really comes back to, you know, is it for the greater good? And can you ask yourself that question and then discern where the answer lies?
And I think one of the things that we have to, we need to accept and work on is that we, virtually all of us, the scientists say 94% of us, have built-in prejudices, have implicit bias that we're not aware of. And so the process of discernment is getting the perspective where we can actually unveil those prejudices and keep ourselves from manipulating facts so that they fit in with our own self-interest.
And whether we even realize we're manipulating them or not, you know, I think back a few weeks to the whole Charlottesville incident, and when the president basically said, you know, there were good people there. And I remember at one point, you know, I was watching the news quite a bit during that time. And at one point, there was one reporter, and these days it seems that news is everybody sort of spends all these reporters discern, right? I mean, their job is discernment. And because it seems that news has become really so much about everyone's specific take or everyone's opinion, somebody at one point realized that if you were with this group of people protesting and it moved away from the goal, which was protesting, whether that was the real inherent goal or not, it doesn't matter. But if you went there and the goal was whether these statues were going to be removed and you saw it turning into something else and you didn't leave at that moment, then actually you had moved into basically unethical behavior. You had become a part of groupthink. You have not discerned that this isn't really what I came here for. And so that all of that got so sort of loaded for me in that, you know, I will always try to give the benefit of the doubt. And in a certain instance where our president was saying, well, there were good people there, I sense in a way he was really not able or properly discerning what was really happening or the truth quite at that time. But mm-hmm. also in terms of the people who were present, not discerning when perhaps something you believe in is now bigger than what you believe in, or is not what you believe in at all, and it's time to leave. You know, so
that's right.
The news seems these days to be so much. It seems to be so revealing. There's so much fodder for processing or pondering. You know, where is truth and where are ethics? You know, what's the line? Where is the line drawn
right.
between ethical and unethical?
Well, and I think about a dynamic that we've talked about before, Steve, which is jokes. You know, what you do when a joke is told. Do you take the time to discern the effect of the joke or what's really being communicated in that moment? And if it is something that you actually don't agree with, can you keep yourself from just laughing along with the group? You know, can you take a stand, even if it's the quiet stand of silence?
Yes.
And show that you know you don't identify with that.
Yes. And once again, it is a moment where you need to, in a sense, rise above where your emotions just want to, you know, they just perhaps you just want to laugh. Or if you feel, you know, there's a feeling in your gut that, oh, that really wasn't right. I'm not feeling good about mm-hmm. that joke. But sometimes laughter is just a nervous reaction as well. And that joke could make you nervous and maybe that's its intention and you might laugh, but you've got to rise above it, right? You've got to create some space and you've got to allow yourself to get into your mind at least a bit, right? To observe mm-hmm. and sort of start to separate what went on, what am I feeling and what's the right thing to do. So I'm hearing a lot of creating space and taking time and a moment. It's a big part of, mm-hmm. of discernment, yeah.
Yes, yes, exactly. So that you're not influenced by the immediate emotional dynamics of what's happening.
For sure. Well, we've talked about hope, Dorothy. Speaking of emotions, mm-hmm. we've talked about hope quite a bit, which always fascinates me. I always sort of give it the gold star every time it comes up on any radio show because I just loved every one of those shows. Listeners, you know, it is a process of discernment, at least for me, I have to say. You know, I am pushed mentally in areas that are just really exciting and new for me, and that the hope shows were great. But, you know, is there an aspect of discernment and hope?
Absolutely. And I think it plays in on two levels. We talked about the optimism that is part of hope, but it needs to be realistic optimism.
Right,
not
right.
just, everything's wonderful, everything's wonderful. And so you have discernment there. You also, another part of hope is the persistence in terms of trying different ways to achieve the objective that you're moving towards. And so discerning, first of all, what might work, and then if something doesn't work, discerning why it didn't so that you don't replicate it, but you move in a different direction. So I think it's very much a part of that process.
Mm. And for me, I come back again to emotional awareness where you really have to be able to spiral up. You know, for me, hope came in my midlife, if I must say. You know, I was always a dark sort of angry little guy. And there was a good friend of mine that passed away at a certain point in my life, and I discerned for the first time. I really saw that I was angry instead of sad, and mm-hmm. that so much of the anger that was getting in the way of me actually processing things mentally and really spiraling things up to, you know, just seeing death as natural or appreciating somebody's life and just not being so angry and feeling gypped and that sort of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. It was really this huge moment of enlightenment, you know, that this light mm-hmm. came into my mind that, wow, take a look at that. This anger always comes after you feel a moment of sadness. And I really explored that for many, many years. And it was a discerning of where my emotions go. And as soon as I got to understand that really my anger was just a protection from really feeling sad, and then I spent a couple of years just crying at everything and balancing myself out. But it was really a mental process of discerning. So, you know, and it led to me being more optimistic and being able to see light in situations and not always defaulting. So, you know, when the quote you mentioned of Desmond Tutu of being able to see that there's light despite all the darkness, you know, that was a real discernment for me at one point. And for me, that emotional sort of emotional awareness was a big aspect of opening up my mind as well and creating space in my emotions for a wide variety of experience emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You just got to observe, right? Observe, observe, observe.
Yep.
Indeed. And that, it makes me think of the quote that you brought a beautiful quote in on the first week, which was, you know, we must use discernment continuously to guarantee our proper motivation. And
yes,
you know, it's always happening. We're always making choices. We're always responding to a situation. And we just need to always be able to look at it and say, you know, what is this providing? And is it in mm-hmm. is it in the world's best interest, those around me, and my own best interest? Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, the image that I'm getting, Steve, as we're talking, is that it's very easy, especially, you know, when we feel rushed, when we are trying to juggle a lot of things at one time, to approach an experience or to examine, you know, to think about something in a kind of a broad brush. And then from there, it's easy to say, well, you know, he's wrong and I'm right, or, you know, we make those judgments and we make those separations, which is, that's the great heresy, right, is that kind of separation. Instead, what discernment does is it looks at the finer details, and one of the benefits of that is that we can start to see common ground with other people. We may not agree with them on everything, but there may be some small piece where we do agree, and we can use that as the bridge to build and strengthen a relationship.
Mm, beautifully said, beautifully said. Indeed. And again, it comes back to listeners. It really always comes back to the greater good, you know, mm-hmm. and that's this sort of connection that we have through all of these themes, once again, that to take the time and discern where it is for sort of a, you know, it's selfish, you know, are my actions for myself or the greater good. And mm-hmm. that always helps. That's always a good place mm-hmm. to start, I would say. Dorothy, we've got to go to yet another break. So it's been a wonderful conversation. Listeners, we'll be right back after this break.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Amber Teal, founder of The Healthy Edge, is bringing you the hit show Healthy Edge Radio, living with power, passion, and purpose. Amber provides the support and tools necessary for you to finally release the weight and emotions that are hidden beneath the weight. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information on how you can take the next step with Amber, visit GetTheHealthyEdge.com.
Hi, this is Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio. Sometimes you hear encouraging messages like transform your life now, become empowered, create the life you crave, and it all seems overwhelming and you're not sure where to start. I'm here to tell you that self-improvement is not always fun and easy, but it is always worth it. The path to creating positive changes begins with releasing the things that have been holding you back. Then you can create a life that inspires you. I know this because I've done it. You can find out more about what I do by visiting my website, SeattleHealingHypnosis.com. I look forward to supporting you on your journey.
Are you struggling in a relationship and deeply craving some tools and support to get things back on track? Do you crave having a loving, compassionate relationship with Mr. Right, but always seem to pick Mr. Wrong? Well, Sarah Luce can help. She's created a 4-week online course starting September 28th that will teach you how to shift your energy and behavior to have new transformative outcomes. And you're going to get a personal one-on-one session with Sarah to ensure you get powerful personal results. Sign up today at SarahLuce.com.
Tune in each month to Synergenetic Living Radio, where Rick and Grace Paris discuss the synergenetic way of life, what it means to truly change your perspective in life, what it means to take control of your life and manifest your true desires. For more information on Rick and Grace Paris and Synergenetic Living, check out synergeneticliving.com. Get clear on the life you desire and the current life you are creating and what is between the two. Synergenetic Living, living life loud.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit ThriveByJen.com today.
Hello, welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are talking about discernment for the entire month of September. And Dorothy, one thing I love about this radio show and live radio is that we get to talk about current events and listeners often, Dorothy and I will have a nice conversation before we have the show. And I love the way that sort of the world around us, everything that's happening here and this, you know, Mother Earth stage, you know, with humanity, it seems to be we always find a way to apply these current events to whatever the theme is. And so, listeners, we talk quite a bit about the hurricane, Dorothy and I, and it was a fascinating sort of little mini conversation about the ways in which we found discernment coming to the forefront. And I know we wanted to talk about compassion. And before the break, Dorothy, we were both saying how really you've got to take a pause and sort of ask yourself, what are my motivations? And are they selfish in nature? Or are they for the greater good? And, you know, I just saw that so much with this break, or with this break, with this with this storm, that there seemed to be such an interconnectedness with the reporters, with the town officials, with the Americans who had loved ones, and that there was this, because of it being live and so many people tapping into the news, they were able to really come to understand and discern what was happening, where was it safe, where was it not safe, and relay messages. It all was quite fascinating in terms of discerning what is proper action, you know, in the here and now. And I saw so many reporters really looking out for those around them because they were connected. So it was a fascinating sort of turn of events, huh?
It was, and particularly, we had Harvey, and I think we're particularly focused on Irma, which started out as a Category 5 hurricane and has diminished, you know, gradually diminished down to a tropical storm. But what I was struck by, Steve, was the compassion expressed by the news reporters who were there. I mean, they put themselves in harm's way in order to help people know what was going on. And I felt that there was example after example of discernment in terms of identifying the kinds of visual images that would help people understand what was happening and evaluate for themselves, you know, how dangerous it was getting. There were these, mass evacuation orders, which not everyone followed. So people that stayed behind needed to have the data in order to remain safe. And, you know, as you were saying, the reporters also played this critical role in terms of relaying information that officials were trying to get out. And it was really nice to see the acknowledgement coming from whether it was county or city or state officials, you know, thanking the reporters for their roles as they're standing out there, you know, in the storm, you know, being buffeted by the wind. There was one particular incident that I was struck by, Steve. I first saw the image of this reporter who was on, I think it, by this time it's the second or third floor of a what looked like it might be the top of a parking garage, and the winds were so strong. He was standing with his arm around, you know, kind of through the railing to make sure that he wasn't blown off. And then a short time later, we see him having moved inside this parking garage. And what he said was that a medical doctor had seen him and had called into the station asking him to move because if he stayed in that position, he was likely to wrench his shoulder because of the way that the wind was coming at him. And I thought, I mean, wasn't that incredible that the medical person would take the time in the middle of all of that to send that message and try to help someone who was in their turn trying to help the whole community?
It's so beautifully put, Dorothy, as always. It was lovely to hear the words you put to that story. And indeed, you know, since we keep talking about esotericism, is it not, you know, exactly the role of the soul that we all have our own very specific human experience here on this earth, and that may be in the form of a doctor this time around, and to be able to lend that very specific knowledge and discern, right? You know, that this reporter is not aware that he's going to do serious damage. And though he's trying to do good, you can do your part. And in a very small way, but yet large way, that he appreciated enough to move inside, you know, we're all in a sense really doing our part. And if that isn't really the individual and the personality serving the soul, because it is for the greater good. And I sensed also that, you know, oftentimes we see the news where they put the reporter out in the wind and you almost sense they've got huge fans blowing on them just for ratings. This really felt different. This really felt like an opportunity for the news to use what they have available to them, which is, you know, probably thousands of battery packs all charged, which is transport helicopters and ways to get places where other people can't. And you've got reporters who are willing to go in harm's way to some degree with some level of protection and everybody doing their job. And it didn't feel that it was for ratings, right? You know, it felt that it was really for the sake of information. It was for the sake of safety. And I too appreciated that there was a heartfelt appreciation and gratitude coming from town officials and from people who were even trying to reach their loved ones. So many times I heard certain reporters say, we'll put the word out, you know, we'll see to it that we get word out that you're looking for so-and-so or that this needs to happen. And the people would thank them in such earnest. So for all in the last many months, we've heard of the media, you know, that they're just, they're all totally selfish. They're liars. They're peddling false news and false stories and, you know, untruths. When you see somebody live and you watch them be, you know, living their truth and living their purpose, you're touched, you know, and that truth just wipes away all of that criticism and all of that, the falsehood around them being false. So I really appreciated the clarity that came through, and them doing their jobs so well.
Yes, and I would like to explicitly thank them for it. I mean, personally, the reporting that I saw most was from MSNBC and CNN, but I know that there were reporters from other units there as well. But thank you for the great service that you did in helping us be able to see and experience and understand what was happening, why it might be happening, and what the potential consequences might be. It was really a wonderful gift to the public that was given by journalists.
Yes, a beautiful example set. Uh-huh. Indeed, there was a moment I was watching CNN as well where the eye of the storm passed over and people came out of the buildings and, you know, the reporter was really going up personally to each and every one of them saying, you know, this is the eye, right? And it's going to get worse because it's going to come in the other direction. One by one, just letting these people know. And some of them thought, mm-hmm. Oh, the storm had passed, you know, so mm-hmm. In a sense, just again, this beautiful example of discernment and compassion. So it's just beautiful how these events always seem to fit in. Really, really lovely.
Well, and also warning people about storm surge. You know, when the wind dies down, when that's passed, that's not the end of it. We're going to get the flooding. We're going to get the storm surge. So, you know, helping officials reinforce the message that you've got to stay put. You've got to not come out. And even one reporter that I heard was really got quite agitated, and I think he did a service in becoming very agitated. He had been interviewing, or somebody else had been interviewing someone who was going to shelter in place, and who was describing their home, and it was up on these blocks, and it was reinforced in this way, and everything was going to be fine, and this reporter said, you know, that may work for you, but other people don't listen, because this is what's going to happen. It's not just that water is going to come in once. It's going to come in. It's going to recede. It's going to go back and forth. It's going to be wearing away at the foundations. It's going to be loosening any, you know, screws. It's going to be, he was very, very descriptive about it. He said, you know, this is what we're going to be facing for hours, you know, for 12, 14 hours. And you may be in a structure that can withstand that, but don't underestimate the power of what's coming and get yourself to safety.
Mm. And isn't it wonderful? I hear you stressing the fact that he was giving facts. He was giving valid factual information, because if we're listening, we recognize that. You know, we might get again caught up in emotions of, I would stay too. I'm strong, and we might just get rambunctious on a sort of emotional level and not be using our heads. And even Dorothy, I would add that those who might be watching that show, you know, you're bringing that up and your telling of this story so clearly helps people see that we can also take opportunities in situations like that to not pick sides or say, oh, this doctor's, you know, if he wants to say he should stay, and get wrapped up in this sort of duality of it's, oh, it's the person that's staying versus the one who knows better and pick sides. And, you know, we could also get wrapped up in just the drama of that. But you chose to actually watch it and process it and discern what's happening here, what's being said. And it's that, well, in actuality, this isn't just one idea versus another. It's a true warning to those who might be listening to this man and choose to stay because they get caught up in this sort of, you know, oh, I can do it. I can stick it out. You know, they might get caught up in that, and you recognizing that, no, you've got to just sit back for a minute and hear this guy out. You know, so discernment, again, we keep coming back to that, is so much of hold on a minute, step back. For those of us who tend to get flared easily, that might be me. Dorothy, we're at another break. Listeners, okay. We'll be back after these messages.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to the Psychic Professor's Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship, this hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net.
Tune in each Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Spiritfire Radio. This has been a lovely conversation, Dorothy. I've really enjoyed it so far. I have a question for you. As we were talking about this, the interconnectedness and people calling in, and especially you told the story of the doctor calling in and getting to the newscaster, and then he moved inside. it makes me think of the ways that just globally we are all so interconnected and all of this is so instantaneous. I even remember one time, at one point in the coverage, there were two people asking, you know, did you see this on your, did you get a warning from the, you know, from the federal emergency management system or, and it seemed that the news was actually a quicker, more efficient way for everybody to stay connected. But it makes me think of this idea of a sea of energy and that we're all connected and how instantaneous, you know, these intentions just come to fruition. I'm wondering if you sense that as well. Do you, you know, you've written quite a bit about quantum science and this sea of potentials and the fact that that time actually can sometimes collapse. It seems we're really approaching this this global instantaneous connection that happens on a very, really very tangible, you know, we're, I mean, as tangible as satellites. It's not actually tangible at all, right? It's invisible. It's quite subtle. But do you sense that, that this there's this instantaneous connection? Does it feel quantum to you at all?
Well, I yes, and it is quantum. I mean, that's yes. The whole thing, right? And we talk about in quantum physics, we talk about non-local connection, that everything is connected. We talk about the butterfly effect, you know, where a small change one place ripples out and can affect so much else. We talk about critical mass, where an idea moves slowly at first and then suddenly explodes. Right. So yes, I think, you know, that's all certainly very much happening and supported by the technology that we have. It was interesting to me that it was actually the cell phone technology that was the most reliable at times, right? In terms of pictures, in terms of the cell towers carrying the broadcasts and stuff. But to me, Steve, that means that it's that meditation becomes even more important, because otherwise we can just get swallowed up in this mass of you know, of ideas and thoughts, thought forms that are swirling around, and how do we discern in that situation? We need that still spot that, yeah, you know, where I talked about the picture being in focus, but we need that ability to be still and to reflect and not always be absorbed, you know, by external things, the things that are flowing to us. And I think that's one of the challenges. It's a challenge, you know, when we say, okay, I'm going to go to a meditation retreat, or I'm going to spend this amount of time meditating a day, you know, in a day, and we do that in a formal way. But my understanding is that ultimately what we're called to is to be in meditation 24/7.
Yeah.
So how do we remain connected with the world, experiencing all of this, and also retain that inner stillness and inner focus? And I'm curious your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, I would say that when we have moved to that inner stillness, we often find ourselves in the place of the heart. And I love that you brought that up at the beginning of the show. It makes me think of, I read a story about one of these neo-Nazis who you know, was really brainwashed for some time, and he was talking about the modern age, and it just what you were saying of there's so much out there, and it's so easy for thoughts to be manipulated and for somebody to become, in a sense, consumed with these ideals or beliefs and thoughts in a very particular direction. And he was with his son, and his young son responded to an African American in a way that he couldn't live with. It was ethically wrong. And he had a moment where his heart his heart tapped in. You know, all of a sudden his heart came online and he saw that he didn't want his son to feel that separation from this man who was actually being quite kind, you know, and something, you know, somehow this, it shattered, you know, this sort of idea of us versus them. And he connected to his heart. He became aligned and he had a meditative experience. And it is really that his heart and mind came together and he was able to make a choice. And he said to himself, I don't want my son to grow up like me. It only got me in trouble and I can see the signs. And so, you know, to be in meditation is really just to connect indeed to ourselves, find that loving kindness within ourselves that is inherent, you know, it's innate to us. And so when I hear you say, you know, come inside and take a moment, it really for me is experienced often as connecting in the heart, which as we come in and connect to the heart, all of a sudden, instantaneously, we're connected to everything. And then we can discern where our thoughts or actions or beliefs or in anything is actually in opposition to that connection or that sense of interconnectedness. And that's where the discernment begins, which is where it happened with him, which was I see my son disconnecting from someone that's based on a belief I taught him. And to me, that's a meditative experience, don't you think? Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think it is. I think it is. And the challenge is, listening to you and I'm reflecting on it, to me it's another face of this challenge that I see as being our primary objective on this planet, and that is to remember that we are part of a whole, and at the same time, we have our own unique soul path and things that we're supposed to be doing. So how is it that we hold both of those at the same time?
Yes.
You know, I think challenging.
And for each of us, it appears at different times. You know, it appears when we're ready. And, you know, it's when we're making choices all the time. You know, life, waking up in the morning is making a choice. We have choices in front of us all the time. And it's choosing, right? Choosing, you know, common good rather than self-interest. You've said that so many times in terms of goodwill. And I guess, for instance, that gentleman, it took him feeling so connected to his son. You know, it took love. It took him to have a bond outside of himself and his own ideas in his head where nothing mattered but the ideas. Well, he connected to another human being, and that care actually led his heart to open and led him to discern that his son's actions were wrong, and he needed to, as a father, change himself so he could help change his son. All we can do, right, Dorothy?
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful story.
Yeah. Well, we're really just about to wrap up the show, Dorothy. It went very fast. Good thing we have another week yet to talk about discernment.
Yes.
So listeners, just want to once again remind you that SpiritFighterRadio.com has got the archives. Goodness, Dorothy, we're in month number, is it 8? I believe 7 or 8. So lots of wonderful shows for everyone to listen to on our archives. And we'll be back next week, right, to continue talking about discernment. And as we often do on our last month, which is how can you strengthen it in your life? How can you bring more of that into your awareness and therefore into your life? Any final words, Dorothy?
Nope. It's been really a real pleasure talking with you today, Steve. And I look forward to next week.
Me too. Very good, listeners. Thanks so much for joining us. And we'll see you in 1 week's time on Spirit Fire Radio. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit SpiritFireRadio.com.